All right, if you could just tell me your name and maybe a little bit about yourself.
Yes, my name is George B. Roberts, Jr., and I've been a resident of Gilmanton now almost all my life, except for the first year. Mm-hmm. I'm 68, and I've got about 67 years of memory of Old Home Day.
Wow, that's great. Can you tell me what it was like in the beginning, the first Old Home Days you remember?
Well, of course, that's a number of years ago. This town was primarily an agricultural town, mostly dairy farmers and big chicken farmers in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And as we say, the summer folk, a lot of people would come every single summer in Gilmanton Corner and around the lakes, originally from Orange, New Jersey, and Philadelphia and New York, and they'd stay all summer. So Old Home Day was sort of the end of the season, just before Labor Day, where everybody would get together and say hello again and goodbye again.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. What are some of the things about the Old Home Day that are different than they are now?
Well, we don't have the old popcorn guy that when we were kids used to sit on the bank, and we knew he would be here sometime by 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and he had a Model T with a big popcorn machine on the back of it.
Yep.
And he'd come up the hill, which is a lengthy hill, and he'd just barely get here, and his tires would blow out, at least one. So we'd watch him take the tire off, take the rubber tube out, put on the patch, put it back in and hand pump it, and finally get up on the grounds and wait for them to make popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young kid, I always remember that the popcorn man would come, but he'd always be late and he'd always have a flat tire.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in the Gilmanton Elementary School and then Laconia High School, University of Hampshire, went back and got a graduate degree in public administration.
Mm-hmm. And what was school like in the earlier days?
Well, I went to a two-room schoolhouse, and that was the new improved ironworks school. That had two rooms, four grades in each room, so we had one teacher for 4 years, and our reputations carried on to the next 4 years because it was just over the doorway to the next 4 years. It was run by good teachers. Mrs. Durgan was a teacher for years and had taught at Smith Meeting House when she was a young girl at 16. She was a graduate of what's called Plymouth Normal School, 2 years, and you were able to teach school. Mm-hmm. And so at 16 or 17, she started teaching, and she was a roommate, really, in the house I now own, down at the Page House.
Oh.
She had a room upstairs, and we call it the Durgan Room. And she taught here, and she taught in the ironworks until her late 60s.
Yep.
So many people my age and a little older remember her. There were many other teachers in the other four grades. They didn't seem to be too stable there, probably because of the teenagers or pre-teenagers.
Yep.
But school was very direct, and there was generally no homework.
Oh.
We did a lot in it, and each class would teach another class. Like in the fourth grade, you'd help the first and second grade children with their reading or some project they had. So it was a lot of integration between the ages.
Sure.
And, of course, recess was confined to the school grounds, which we claimed went all the way up to Hollis Hill in the winter. We'd slide from that hill, which is almost a mile away from the ironworks. And, of course, softball was the only organized game we had outside. And with none of the equipment that the young children have today, it was just put-together games. But we thought we had fun, and I think we did.
Yeah. What can you tell me about your family life back then?
Well, I grew up on a farm. My dad migrated from England. He was a New Yorker, then a Bostonite, and then he was first a summer person up here. They bought their mother a home, an old Cape Cod from the Tibbetts family. And they came up for summers for a while, and he decided he wanted to come up permanently in 1938, so he bought an old farm. It was belonged to the Cogswell family. It's one of the families that established this town early on. And he had a big dairy farm. So in the summer, we hayed, and then in the afternoon, we'd go to the loon pond, have a swim. Blueberry pies and cookouts were things you did, and our house was always teeming with relatives from Boston and New York City.
Oh, that's fun.
Sometimes 16 to 20 some odd people.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of bedrooms, and that helped. But many would come, and they thought it'd be fun haying, and after one or two days, I would understand it's hard work. But my father always made sure that Old Home Day, he didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would have to prepare about two or three days ahead of time with gathering milk and gathering all the food to be baked and made. And
yeah.
He participated in that along with my mother. Everybody was expected to bring something.
Mm-hmm.
In the town then, most everybody turned out, particularly the summer folks, as we call them. They thought it was probably quaint, but it's interesting. And then those summer people intermarried many of the local people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at some of the people that are walking down the driveway, I say, well, you know, she's from the Orange family that came from New York and New Jersey as summer people, but she married a local fella.
Yeah.
and now I know their great-grandson.
Oh, wow.
So there's a long connection.
Yep.
When you live in one town for a long time.
Yeah. Do you recognize any faces from way back then that are here today at Old Home Day?
Yes. Dave Bickford. Who was a selectman for years, and a real good politician, because for some reason he never made anybody angry. And I think because he would always lift it and he would say, yep, could be, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll look into that. And he was a sincere person, but yeah. He was a highly respected gentleman. He ran forever, it seemed, He never was defeated, and when he decided to hang up his hat, he didn't. And he was a gracious, gentle man. He's from an old family around here, the Bickfords.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school with his nephew, and so you have all these links.
Yeah.
Now they say six, up to six, and you can, you know, meet the person you want to meet.
Yep.
Well, it didn't take six, so you know two, and you know everybody's family.
Yeah.
You get to know the genealogy.
Sure.
And you had to be careful what you said about some person who did something you didn't like, because that might be his uncle or his mm-hmm. great-grandfather or his nephew. You never knew.
Yep. What are some of your favorite parts about Old Home Day today?
Well, of course, the favorite part is the bean supper.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that happens that most people don't see is after everybody works in the cookhouse is when they put the beans in. That's the dangerous part, because that's full of juice.
Mm.
And the pit is terribly hot. And if you spill any of that juice, the fire goes out and those beans will not bake.
Oh, no.
So that's the delicate part, and it's always interesting. They've got a big pole and probably eight men picking up this kettle, which looks like it's something would have happened 100 or 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually has happened for 100 years.
Yeah, wow, that's very interesting. Yeah. Can you tell me any memories you've had of Old Home Days in the past that you can think about?
Stories. Well, things that used to be done that are not, because, you know, things lose their flavor. The horseshoe contests.
Mm-hmm.
The men would play for hours, and we'd be cleaning up and putting away the stools and benches, and they'll still be playing at 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, they had pony pulling, which a lot of the people didn't like it, and animal lovers were upset. It didn't hurt the horses. They were built that way, but they used to have pony pulls.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of noise and yelling at the animals.
Yeah.
And cracking the whips, but it wasn't cruelty, but they did away with that.
Mm-hmm.
We had other games, too. But what I enjoyed the most, and they didn't do it for a lot of years, was the tug of war.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I think, abolished because they thought it divided the town. We had, and still have, two post offices, two telephone companies,
mm-hmm.
and two fire department, not separate companies now, but two fire department buildings, and two general stores. So people seen that the town has two central locations, the ironworks in the corner. So mm-hmm. they had this tug of war with a great big hawser, which is a big, thick hemp rope,
mm-hmm.
and they would tie a woman's kerchief on it and draw a line in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys from the corner and the guys from the ironworks would get in this tug of war, and they'd dig in, and they'd go for like a good 10, 15 minutes
wow.
until somebody would pull them over the line. And
mm-hmm.
they did away with that because they thought there was some hostilities after the yeah. tug of war. But we know it's thought it was great fun to watch it.
Yeah, certainly. Can you think of any other memories that you'd like to share from old home days?
Well, way back, probably because we had a lot of beans left over, we had a supper at night, and that generally was a repeat of the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe some barbecue chicken added to it and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be one-act plays put on, very amateurish, and they were probably funniest because they were so amateur and corny, but mm-hmm. we had a good laugh.
Yeah.
That was sort of the end of the festivities. But you have to realize our town then was maybe 300 adults, maybe 400, with over 3,000 now, so...
Mm.
The small town atmosphere is dissipating somewhat.
Yep.
And I think a lot of us who are romantics figure that Old Home Day is sort of a way to remind people of the way people used to socialize.
Yeah.
They used to like each other even though they didn't. In other words, you were in a small town, you had to get along with most people. If you got down on someone, they got down on you, it could last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you were very careful how you treated each other.
Yep.
And I think, unfortunately, I think the world has changed, so people aren't quite like that. And the best memory is understanding that the person is your neighbor, and you might not like the politics or what they do or maybe what they said, but next winter, you'll probably be pulling out of a snowbank when you're stuck. So there's a different way you treat people.
Yeah.
Not because you're afraid of them or you want something out of them, but because you know they're a neighbor and they're part of the town and they always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Now things change rapidly and that's lost.
Yeah.
And it goes when the town gets bigger, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think people in the Old Home Day Association figure they'd try to recreate some of this feeling, will come back and reminisce. And great feeling I had today. I saw a fellow who was in my class. There were only three boys in my class. Probably 8 to 12 all the way through school.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives the next town over, and I haven't seen him for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
But he was here today, and we had a fun teasing each other about something that happened, 25 years ago. so those are good feelings, and there's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, probably some of the characters that used to come here.
Yeah.
In my younger days, men wore long beards not to be socially accepted or anything, or because in the rock band, they just wore beards all their life.
Yep.
And there was still some of those. And some of the older couples came with cars that were 20 or 25 years old and didn't call them antiques.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still good shape because they didn't drive them often. But there was a different atmosphere that way.
Right.
I'm not sure I'm getting across what I'm saying, but I think it's when you live in a small town and you know everybody literally,
mm-hmm.
and at least you know them by first name and know who their wife is and who their children are because you go to school with them. And in the fire department with you, even when you're a young kid, you can tag along and do a lot of things in the community. There's a completely different feeling than when you live in the community and you can leave and no one knows you left town.
Yep. Oh, no. Definitely.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, any other thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, we're the 109th. I personally am very involved on the executive committee of the First Congregational Society, which people call Smith Meeting House, but
mm-hmm.
it's the buildings and the grounds. We have the church, the school, the horse shed, the cookhouse, and also the funeral shed, which we just restored. And we have quite a bit of acreage around here that we try to preserve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
We're also we also have done a dig where the old parsonage was, right across from the church,
mm-hmm.
and we donated that for a garden, a memory garden, for my wife's parents and my parents. That's a perennial flower garden, and down the hill there is the buried foundation of another house that at one time was the parsonage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting a little dig there to try to outline where it was.
Mm-hmm.
What we did with the other foundation, we cleaned that all out and and partitioned it like that house was partitioned, with a living room and a dining room and a back room where they have the kitchen and a so-called birthing room.
Yep.
And also down the hill, there's another property owner that we're trying to get them to at least allow us to clean out the area where another old cape was located.
Sure.
This location was going to be the central village of the four-town location, which is Laconia, Guilford, and Gilmerton, and Belmont. But it didn't get big because they lost their water power.
Mm.
There wasn't enough coming from the pond, so this was built up for a short period of time and then went down.
Mm-hmm.
And it went in deep disrepair after the Civil War, and there was an attempt to get it rebuilt. And Old Home Day was actually started a year before the official Old Home Day was declared by Governor Rollins.
Oh, wow.
To bring people back. You know, he was upset that economically we're depressed at that time, and that so many of the young people, particularly the Civil War vets and their sons, had gone west for land, farmland, opening west as far as Oklahoma from this town and other places. So he tried to get people back having Old Home Day week. And there was a lot of sentimentality, but not many came back, and not many came backstage.
They
went back to their new homes out in the Midwest and the West.
Mm-hmm.
So this has a lot of history to it for those who have been around for a while or just want to do a little bit of research on it. So it's an important location to me personally in the sense that, I'm in the first community that was located here.
Mm-hmm.
And it went in disrepair, and there's somewhat of a revival, if you will, of activity because the buildings are now restored.
Sure.
And that's pleasant to think about that. Plus, the surrounding area around here with the big cemetery even and the big fields of hay fields. You can stand here on a day and not see a car and not hear an airplane. And you look at the buildings and it could be 1830, just as it was, because that is about the era of the two prominent buildings here.
Right, yep. Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for talking. No, if there's anything else, definitely.
Well, we hope it would continue.
Mm-hmm.
To some, it's a food event. The beans, it's unique. To others, I just saw a gentleman who was a summer folk. We knew them for years, the Celine family.
Mm-hmm.
One has passed away. He used to run the art show down in the meeting room. Eric used to be dean of the department, French department at Temple University in Louisiana, and he also taught in Temple in Pennsylvania, where he has now returned. And he just said he regretted selling his summer home because he'd like to live in Gilmerton again. So people have a strong attachment to this town, and I'm sure it's like that in a lot of other small towns. But unless you live in a small town, you never get that feeling. Maybe if you're in a gated community or 55 and over, there might be some feelings like that. But Old Home Day at least sort of regenerates it for a period of time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just can't wait till next year. We can't wait, but we know it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true too.
So we're always looking for volunteers and those we call new blood. That's people don't know how hot it is.
Yeah.
We try to recruit. But, it's there are still quite a few towns that have Old Home Day, and they do it differently. They have a road race, or they have a barbecue, and they might have it two or three days. Belmont has quite a lot of activities in Guilford and Canterbury and Chichester. And when I first started to get involved in the mid-60s as an adult, there was an Old Home Day Association that the town associations belonged to, so they coordinate their effort, and so they wouldn't try to, outbeat each other for bands and parades, that type of thing. But that has sort of dissipated, so Old Home Day is a little different flavor from town to town. But this is probably more the original type. It's laid back, and it's, you have the arts and crafts, and then you have the vendors that attracts some people. To me, that doesn't mean anything because we never had that way back. There is one great memory I have is that when my wife was active with a lot of the young women in town, it was the bicentennial. And my nephew was able to get in his uncle's tuxedo. And this was a young man who wasn't even 16 yet. And all the women who put on the dresses of the turn of the century were all pre-teenagers. And they had a fashion show. And it was really unique and well done. And it was just striking how small people were in 1880, say, the turn of the century.
Yeah.
If you were 6 footer and weighed 250 pounds, you were pretty much of a giant compared to the physique of a lot of those people. And if you look at the carriages they drove, their seats were very narrow for two people today, but just right for them. Mm-hmm. So there was substantial difference in the size of the people.
Yeah.
But the fashion show was great memory because a lot of young kids were in it, pretending they were young women in the 20s, but they're teenagers and teenagers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've done some unique things other than have crafts and arts, but it's hard getting volunteers to do anything. They really have to be dedicated, and they have to have, probably for Old Home Day, you have to have a little bit of romance and historic interest to want to participate.
Yeah.
But we want to generate that.
Sure.
And hopefully do. Every year we get a lot of young children wait on table.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back until they have an automobile license. And then they come back after they get married.
Yep.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking. Yeah. It's been very interesting.
Well, Gillington is interesting. And this building is very interesting, too.
Yeah. I know. I looked at the old schoolhouse as well. And, I mean, there's some really nifty stuff.
Well, see, all the meeting houses were built at that period, which would be pre-revolution and then post-revolution.
Mm-hmm.
But pre-revolution, they're 2.5 stories. So it looked like a great big house, like a center chimney house, except they're 2.5 stories without a chimney. And each side they would have a stairway, enclosed stairway, because they had balconies. So the minister would be on the long end, and then the balcony would be shaped like a horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then these pews, you can see they're all marked. They were dedicated or aboard in memory.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing then. They rented their pews. So the wealthy people paid more money to sit down front. And other people didn't have quite as much, could rent a pew in the back of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, they didn't have stoves at all in the church. It wasn't considered a religious thing to do. And even musical instruments weren't used until probably 1810, 1830.
Wow.
Because congregationalists were really the Puritans.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant you had a stripped-down model. And people always ask, they say, well, how come we don't have a cross on the wall or something like that? Well, they didn't because the congregationalists wanted to strip themselves of the ornateness of the previous Catholic and then Anglican church because they wanted to get back to the basics.
Yep.
The flagstaff has it because that's a modern flagstaff. But so the interior of this place is kept the way it would have except electric organ. And the window panes were smaller before 1880.
Oh, yeah?
But the rest of it is the way it was in 1835, 36 when they tore down the old building and built a smaller one, because they're very pragmatic. They had a smaller congregation.
Yep.
So, I mean, when I look at something, I can see, you know, different things happening. The workmanship in this place, if you look at it closely, even when we restored it, we didn't try to overdo it. It was plain and simple, but when you look at it, it is pleasing.
Mm.
And everything then was done for a reason. The stoves were a gift, so they graciously accepted them, and they built the chimneys outside the building, where in all the buildings of that era, the chimneys were inside to retain some of the heat.
Right.
But you wouldn't see a church with a chimney on the inside, of course. So I better conclude.